Well, I'm always amazed because actually Christmas is in full bloom right now. We see it in October. It just starts. You're just going, oh, my gosh, they got the Christmas decorations. I mean, I love seeing these Christmas decorations. We don't even have them up in our church yet. I'm going to do it next week. But I'm always amazed because October, they've got the Christmas stuff out already before Thanksgiving. And now we're really underway. But I am amazed at how offended the world is with the Christmas spirit. I'm sure you guys heard what was happening up in Washington, I think it was, where they had the nativity scene, and then the atheists put up their little poster about how awful religion is, and just this whole thing. And today it's like, you are so narrow-minded and so insulting if you follow Jesus. I'm always amazed because the world is so quick to let us know how politically correct we should be and how we shouldn't offend others, but they have no problem offending the Christians. I really don't care about political correctness. All I care about is being correct before my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And even if you look at the world, we need to understand, and I'm sure most of you do, that Christmas is not about the commercialism that we see in every department store, but it's more about an incredible gift that God gave to us. It's about an extravagant gift that God gave to us. And Paul states it. I love the way Paul states it in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. Paul says, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." And I happened to read this pamphlet that Max Lucado put out, and the book is A Love Worth Giving. And he states, "God has lavished us with an extravagant gift, and it came in the form of a tiny, tiny, helpless newborn baby. His name was Jesus Christ, God's Son." He says, Max Lucado says, "Consider the gift. Jesus exchanged heaven's throne for a grimy stable. He exchanged the worship of angels for the company of sinners. He could hold the universe in the palm of his hand, but gave it up to float in the womb of a woman. If you were God, he says, would you sleep on straw, nursed from a breast, and be clothed in a diaper?" This is what Jesus did. He humbled himself. He went from commanding angels to sleeping on straw, from holding stars to holding his mommy's fingers. The palm that held the universe took the nail of the soldier. And Max Lucado says, why? He goes on, "Because that's what love does. It puts the beloved before itself. Your soul was more important than his blood. Your eternal life was more important than his earthly life. Your place in heaven was more important to him than his place in heaven. So he gave up his so that you could have yours." This is incredible love. This is extravagant love. This is his extravagant gift. And what's extravagant giving all about? It's about love. It's about God's love, a love that knows no bounds and knows no limits. It's been said that we can never outgive God. When you look at what God did for you and I, for every person in this universe, he gave his son. We can never outgive God. I think about the night that the shepherds were told, as the angels announced Christ's birth, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." Our joy is about God's love to every man, woman, and child, and we take that opportunity to celebrate it at this time of the year. We celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In return, I think what we need to do is give our life to God. We need to be a gift to him. The greatest gift we can give to one another is the gift of ourselves. And isn't that what he did for every one of us? He gave us the gift of himself. I love the way Paul puts it. He says in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not out to his own things, but the things of others." Romans 12, verse 3 says, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think more highly of themselves than they ought, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." I hope that as we sit in this sanctuary, that we don't think more highly of ourselves than we should. And with this in mind, I want to look at the scripture that Lisa gave me to teach on this afternoon. And it's Hebrews chapter 13, and I'm going to look at verses 1 and 2. And the scripture says, let love of the brethren continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. And first I want to look at the very first verse. It says, let brotherly love continue. Brotherly love is incredibly important, and it has three primary reasons. First, it reveals to the world that we belong to God. If we have love in our heart, if we have the love of God, it reveals this to the world. And in John 13:35, it says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Second, it reveals our true identity to ourselves. 1 John chapter 3:14 says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. And third, it delights God's heart. In 1 John 3:16 says, hereby perceive we the love of God because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. The Christian life is a life of faith towards God and of love towards one another. It is the glue that holds the believer. It is the glue that holds the church together. In Romans 12, verse 10, it says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honoring, giving preference to one another. It comes back to what Paul said, esteeming others higher than themselves. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 tells us, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. You know, we see the love of the world, and it's contaminated, it's filthy, it's dirty. It's really more or less the lust of the world. But God has given us a pure love. Brotherly love reveals to the world that we belong to God. It reveals our true identity to ourselves, and it delights God. Now, he states, let brotherly love continue. Possibly there was divisions going on. Possibly there were some that didn't want to continue in this love. And I think as believers, all of us need to be aware that Satan goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he wants to cause divisions within the body of Christ. There are people in our bodies that you have to really pray. You have to really pray when you're around them, because there's a dissension that goes on. And we need to realize that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. So be aware. Satan doesn't want you to love your sister. Satan doesn't want you to love certain individuals, but we die to self. We esteem others higher than ourselves. Maybe this year you're getting ready to have the holidays with your family, and you're thinking, I'm not having this person this year. They're not ruining my holiday. And really, what is the holiday all about? Jesus is the reason for the season. A quote I read years ago, and I tucked it in my heart, and I've never forgotten, and I just thought it was incredible wisdom. And it said, and the quote said, and actually it was a bumper sticker, and the bumper sticker said, if you've met me, you've lost nothing. But if you've met Jesus Christ and forgotten him, you've lost everything. We can never forget what this holiday is all about. We can never forget the indescribable gift, the extravagant gift that he's given to every one of us. Jesus said in Matthew 5, verses 46 and 47, for if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Jesus is calling us to love the unlovely. Isn't that where we were? We were incredibly unlovely when Jesus pulled us out of whatever pit we came from. This is not a task that God requires of you in your own strength. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5, God says, your sufficiency is in him. You can't love out of your own ability, but it has to be God's agape love poured into you. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 tells us, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There are people that are incredibly difficult to love, but you can through Jesus Christ. I'll never forget going through a difficult circumstance, and I remember I was having a difficult time being around this person, and yet it was a person I had to be around. And I go, Lord, and I just remember crying out to God, and I remember Satan just going, what's the matter? Can't you take it? And I remember thinking to myself, I can't take it. But God says, you can, Trudy, through me. I can't do it in my own, but God working in me is able to cause me to do all kinds of things that I thought were impossible. And the love that is flowing through you is the love described in 1 Corinthians 13. You suffer long. You bear. You deal with all the different issues as you look to God's word. This is the only way that your love can be effective. Let love of the brethren continue, the scripture says. God never stops loving us. I can never think of a moment when he's ever stopped loving me. Others may abandon you, divorce you, and ignore you, but God will love you no matter what. No matter how far you decide to walk away from God, no matter how big that mistake is that you just made, God never stops loving us. His love will flood you and change you. In the knowledge and in the acceptance of his love is where you need to walk. You need to walk in his love. There's no other way. We all have uncomfortable family members, but it's our responsibility to be a light in this dark world. The holidays allow you to be an example of his extravagant gift as you have unsaved family members over, possibly for Christmas, or as you're at other family members that aren't walking with God. It allows you to be that example. Are you willing to die to self? Didn't Jesus tell us if you want to follow him, you need to deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow him? Isn't that what we just read about in Max Lucado's short little brief summary that I read about? That he gave up everything and he walked among us. It's not like we were any prize, ladies. And yet he chose to do that. And this is what he's asking of us. Will you give your life for the unbeliever? Will you be an example? It is a time for us to be a light. It is a time for us to show the love of Jesus Christ as we celebrate this season. I believe many times the hardest people to minister to are our families. Jesus said in Acts 1:8, you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. What's he talking about there? This speaks of our family, our friends, and then it goes further and further that we become a witness. But it begins at home. You have to be a witness at home first. Those are your credentials, if I might say, that you must be a witness at home. Now, that doesn't mean you invite non-believers over or family that's unsaved and you let them drink and you let them do whatever they want. Xavier and I, from the moment we were saved, had specific guidelines and rules in our home. There was no drinking in our home. There was no smoking in our home. And I remember having certain people, and it kind of reminded me when you're in high school. I remember they'd come over and then they'd go to their car and they would drink something and then they'd come back. You know, but they weren't allowed to drink in my home because our home was a home that honored Jesus Christ. And I couldn't allow drunkenness to be going on in my home. So there are certain guidelines. And you'll be amazed. I'll never forget when my daughter got married and we had the reception at a hotel. And somebody asked, is there going to be alcohol? Sparkling cider, maybe, but that's about it. And I'll never forget the unsaved family members that came on both sides of the family. And they were amazed at the blast that we had without alcohol. Now, they may have went out towards the bar outside of the reception room and got their drinking. But they didn't have it in the actual reception room. God is so good. We are to be a witness. We don't need those stimulants. We have him. Next, the verse goes on to say, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing. Listen to another translation of that same verse. It says, do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Another translation, forget not to show love unto strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. It is a given that we are to be hospitable to loved ones and to friends in light of the previous scripture that I just shared about letting love, brotherly love, continue. The word hospitable means to receive as a guest, to entertain, to receive hospitality, to stay as a guest, to lodge and be lodged. And that's what I'm going to look at in this one verse. We are to extend love, showing hospitality to strangers, not just our own family. There are people in the body of Christ that God opens up doors for you to entertain, for you to have over, to you to minister. You know, I think sometimes we get so caught up with, oh, I'll meet you at whatever restaurant. You know what I mean? And we forget all about what it is to entertain. And I think it's great to go to a restaurant. But how many times has God ministered to you, I want you to have these people over, and I want you to minister to them. They're going through something really devastating. And if you go to a restaurant, the server's going, I need to wait on other tables, I need to make my tips, whatever. And you're sitting there talking and fellowshipping and having a good time. But you know what? You can be doing that in your own home. You can be doing that in your home. You need to entertain these different people. Papers are stuck. Our fervent love spoke about in the verse is to be demonstrated in practical means. The practical means is hospitality. Did you know that God works supernaturally through the natural? That's how God works. If you're waiting for lightning to come down, if you're waiting for all these supernatural things, forget it. He works supernaturally through the natural. We think we have to have when we have, you know, we had this tea and the tables were beautiful. But, you know, our homes don't have to be picture perfect. It doesn't have to be the Martha Stewart home to have somebody in your home. You be hospitable. You be open. I think about Martha. Martha was caught up with all of this when she had Jesus over. And what did Jesus say to her? Martha, Martha, you are cumbered about too many things. One thing is needful, that you sit at my feet. She had to learn that. And you know what? Martha didn't stop entertaining, but God opened her eyes to what proper hospitality was. There's a time to get things ready. There's a time to make sure everything's prepared and ready to go. But then there's a time, okay, now hospitality means I'm sitting, I'm talking, I'm ministering, I'm sharing with one another. Proverbs 17, verse 1 says, better is a dry morsel with quietness than a house full of feasting with strife. That's what Martha was like. Have you ever been that way? I've been guilty. You're preparing a meal and you're irritated and you're murmuring, you're complaining, and the people come, hi. We all know what that's like. But hopefully we don't stay there. You know, one thing that I know is that entertaining, when it comes to entertaining and being hospitable, practice makes perfect. Get used to entertaining God's people. Get used to entertaining strangers that belong to the household of God. It's an awesome privilege. The awesome conversations that you will have are amazing as you listen to different individuals. Most of us have had our husbands spring on us at the last minute. So-and-so's coming over, and you're given maybe a half hour. I'll never forget, my husband did that to me, and literally, it was like probably 3 days before payday, so you know what that's like. And I remember having Rosarita beans. Opened up those Rosarita beans, threw them into a pan, fried some tortillas. We had tostados. You work with what you have. You're not supposed to be this Martha Stewart lavish hostess, but you're supposed to be hospitable. Sometimes all you're sharing, I think about, I think it was the prophet Elijah. Can you give me some oil and some bread? That's it. Sometimes we don't have wonderful banquets at our homes, but we serve it in lovingness according to the Lord. Proverbs 15, verse 17 says, better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fatted calf with hatred. We need to serve and to be hospitable with His love. It is a joy to invite someone who's experiencing difficulties. Maybe they're experiencing trials, and you can have them over to your house. There's been times where we've had people over our house and we're ministering, and I'm telling you, it goes into hours of ministry. And you know what? We love it. Do you remember when Jesus ministered to the woman at the well, and the disciples took off to go get food for him? And then when he came back, the disciples saw Jesus ministering to this woman, and they said, he hasn't eaten. And what did Jesus say? He says, I have meat that you know not of. There is something about ministering to the brothers and sisters and to non-believers that nothing matters except ministering. It is an awesome privilege. Someone asked me one time, it must be difficult being in the ministry. I go, oh, It is the best. I have always loved being involved with God's people. I have always loved serving the Lord, however He chooses to use me. It is a joy. I went to a tea last year, and it was amazing because the tea was at a woman's house, and she cleared out all the furniture. She set up tables. And you know what? It was a small church. They would have never been able to have a tea if that person hadn't opened up their home. It's so important that we are sensitive to what's going on around us. Was it a lot of work? You betcha it was a lot of work. But the blessings that she incurred as she opened up her home made it well worth it. This Thanksgiving, I heard on the news that a woman sent out an email. Anybody that doesn't have family who's hurting, you're invited to my home. She had 30 new guests. Now, I can almost betcha she was a Christian. How many times have you invited people for Thanksgiving or for Christmas because maybe they've lost a loved one last year or in the previous years, or maybe they're going through difficult times? Maybe they can't even afford a nice dinner at Thanksgiving or Christmas. And you've opened your home and you've made all the difference in the world. They say that during the holidays is the most time suicides take place, because it's a very depressing time if you don't have your family, if circumstances are difficult. And yet, we can choose to be a blessing and be hospitable to those around us. Do we really believe that it is more blessed to give than to receive? We are commanded to be hospitable. In Titus 1, verse 8, it says, a lover of hospitality. Without hospitality, the early church would have never existed. For 200 years, there was no such thing as a church building. Did you know that? There was no Calvary chapels. And think about the Calvary chapels. Many of them started in a home Bible study because somebody was gracious enough to open up their home and be hospitable. We read in Romans 16, verse 5, greet the church that is in their house. In 1 Corinthians 16, verse 19, the churches of Asia greet you. Aquila and Priscilla greet you heartily in the Lord with the church that is in their house. Now, let's face it, if you've ever started a church or been to a home church Bible study, the kids are bouncing off the wall over here, you're trying to do a Bible study here, and then the wife's in there fixing coffee and cookies or whatever. It's a lot of work, but the blessings are amazing. I think about Calvary Chapel Pasadena. It started from 3 people in a home Bible study. And what God does with those 3 people, I am amazed. I am amazed. God sees you open your home up. And you only see that, but God's looking at the big picture. What will happen? Maybe it won't be a church, but maybe God will use you to minister to that individual so incredibly that they will go on to serve Christ in ways that you only dream about serving Christ. Do you understand how important it is that we be hospitable? I think about some of the churches today that are meeting in homes. I think about the underground church in China. People who are thrown in jail, people who lose their lives because they open their homes to have a church in their home. I think about Egypt. I think about Iran. It is dangerous to be hospitable and open your home to have a Bible study there. Dangerous. And yet these people willingly lay down their lives to be hospitable. Hospitality is commanded for all of us. You know, so many times we have this concept, she has the gift of hospitality. But God's word says we are to all be hospitable. In 3 John verse 5, it says, beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers. Christian leaders in particular should be given to hospitality in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and in Titus 1:8 and in 1 Timothy 3 verse 2. Scripture tells us hospitality was required of widows in 1 Timothy 5 verse 10. Moses included it in the law in Exodus 22, verse 21. Jesus enjoyed incredible hospitality, as we learn from Martha and Mary and from Lazarus. He enjoyed hospitality from Zacchaeus. He even was asked to come into the homes of the Pharisees. Sometimes hospitality means lodging people. In ancient times, hotels as we know them, were non-existent. And the inns had reputations of being unsafe. And the few inns that were available were very expensive. So when you look at the church in the book of Acts, when people were being persecuted for their faith and they were fleeing, it was different Christians that took them in and took care of them for a time. And this is how the church grew. And this is how God's people took care of one another. They were actually dependent on other Christians. Poor Christians could not have afforded a lodging in an inn. And an example that comes to my mind is Corrie Ten Boom. If you've never seen the movie Hiding Place, I recommend that you see it. If you haven't seen the movie, maybe the book, you could read that. Her family hid Jews during World War II regarding the Nazis. And she stated, listen to her words, "It is not my ability, but my response to God's ability that counts." That's how she felt about lodging the Jews and getting them to safety. Let me repeat that. It's not my ability, but my response to God's ability that counts. And that's really what we need to think about. What we do for the honor of God. What we do for the glory of God. We have to be hospitable. God commands it in His scriptures. I think about the apostles and how they were blessed with hospitality in the early church, in the ministry. Peter was lodged with Simon the Tanner in Acts 10. Paul, in his missionary trips, I don't know if you've ever read Paul, but he's kind of like my hero. I just love the man. He is an amazing man. And while he was on his way to Rome, as he was imprisoned, he was lodged by Christian after Christian after Christian who took care of him. And even when he came to Rome, he was still lodged by Christians before he was actually in prison. And while he was in prison, anticipating that he might be released, he tells Philemon, "Prepare the guest room for me. I'm coming. Lord willing, I will come." We all know that Paul was beheaded for the faith. Every year we have the pastor's conference and they come out to Marietta, and pastors fly in from all over the world. And I'm privileged to have pastors come and stay in my home for a few days, depending on what time their flights come in, and then from there they go to the conference. And I'm telling you, I have several couches that make into beds. Now that the kids are gone, I got a couple of rooms that are available. And we just have, I mean, it's almost a slumber party. It is the best time. I'm telling you, lodging pastors is awesome, because the wealth of wisdom that these men have is incredible. I mean, they think I'm doing them a favor. They don't realize they're doing me a favor, because I get to spend time and fellowship with them. We've had a number of people come and live with us. It's awesome. Sometimes it's uncomfortable because, you know, you can't walk around like you want to. Maybe you can't bout off like to your husband like you normally maybe would when you're in the flesh. And actually, that's a good thing. That's a really good thing. But I'll tell you, to be able to have someone come and stay in your home and to be able to minister to them, and maybe they're new Christians and they don't know anything about the Christian life, and to have them watch you, and they do. They watch you intently. It's kind of some things you go, okay, I want you to pick that up. And then other things you go, no, not that. But you know what? It's a privilege. It is a privilege. In Luke chapter 14, verses 12 through 14, it tells us, "But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because you cannot repay. You shall be repaid at the resurrection of Christ." You know, many times when we invite friends over, that's what we're doing. We're inviting friends, and we love to spend time with them. Matter of fact, I love to have Lisa at my house, because you know what? She's great to talk to. I don't know if you guys have spent time with her, but she's a blast. But God says, I want you to invite the unlovely. Don't invite people for a hidden agenda. Invite them because that's what God wants you to do, because they have nowhere to go. They have nothing, some of them. I believe the homeless would not be as big a problem today if family members were sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading and not turning a deaf ear. Many times, it's because there's no family. The family has abandoned them. We read in Romans 12, verse 13, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Again, don't invite people looking for something in return. Your motive always has to be as unto the Lord. And when you do show hospitality, Paul tells us in Philippians 2, verse 14, do without complaining and murmuring. We've all complained. We've all murmured. We all know what that's like. But Jesus says, I want you to do without complaining and without murmuring. Peter gives this warning in 1 Peter 4, verse 9, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Hospitality is to be offered ungrudgingly to one another without resenting the time, expense that's involved. The word without grumbling means without murmuring. Are you sitting there going, you know, I could have spent this money on this, this, and that? No, I've got to entertain these people. When you do it as unto the Lord. Remember, it's always for his glory. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10 says, for God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. He's watching. Remember, he sees everything. Our life is open before him. He is totally aware of who comes to your home. He is totally aware of the attitude in which you serve. You know, all of us know what it's like to put on our Christian makeup. You're this way on the outside, but the inside, you're just irritated. You're hot. God's aware of that. We hide nothing from him. Be hospitable, but do it in God's love. Think about how hospitable Jesus has been as he opened heaven to you and I. Christ has received us into the kingdom of God. He feeds us with heavenly food, the bread that came down from heaven. He is the bread of life. We must receive our brothers for his glory and for his honor. Ladies, we are to demonstrate fervent love, love for the brethren. And that's through hospitality many times. We help to promote the truth when we open our homes to God's servants. In 3 John verses 5 through 8, it tells us, beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers who have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you do well, because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such that we may become fellow workers for the truth. He says, you do well. You do well because you do it for his glory. I think about the many times that Xavier and I have been out of the country and we have stayed in different people's home, and they have lavished us with an incredible meal, incredible sleeping quarters, and incredible fellowship. And some of these people I never knew before when I stayed at their home. And I can tell you today that some of those people we are incredibly close. We have a wonderful, incredible friendship today because they lodged strangers, which was my husband and myself. It is amazing, because I don't care where you go in this world. If you're with Christians, you're with family. And I hope that you treat your brothers and sisters in the same manner. Do you remember Rahab? As she took in the two spies, it could have cost her her very life as she took them in, as she protected them. I think about 2 Kings chapter 4, the Shunammite woman who watched Elijah passing by, and every time he passed by, she asked him to come and have a meal with her. And she was so persistent that she asked her husband, can we make a room for him so that when he's in town, he has a place to stay? I mean, talk about hospitality. Amazing woman. Job was aware of the needs and the sojourners provided, and he provided for them. Job was very conscious in Job 31. The verse goes on, and this is the kicker, ladies. For so by doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. That is amazing to me. And I think in Genesis 18, when Abraham saw three men walking towards him, had he not been hospitable, he would have missed out on not only ministering to the angels, but to Jesus Christ himself, if he was an inhospitable person. How many times have we missed out because we don't want to be bothered? I'm too busy. My schedule. I got to clean today. I got to go shopping tomorrow. I have this going on and that. Take the time to be hospitable. You know not when you entertain angels. I think about Lot the same way, as he watched the two angels walk into Sodom, never knowing that they were angels. Not until it was revealed to Lot what was going to happen in Sodom. How many times? Billy Graham wrote a book. It's called Angels. And I don't even know if it's in print anymore. But he wrote the book because there was so much demonic things happening at the time as far as movies and books that were being written. And so he wrote a book about angels. And the whole book deals with how angels are intertwined in our life. And I just thought, oh, we have no idea. We are clueless. And you know, it's probably better that way. Because sometimes you can look at other different people, ooh, wouldn't want to be that person. And then for all you know, that's an angel sitting right there. You don't know. I'll never forget Karen Johnson years and years and years ago. She was doing some teaching. I can't even remember what the teaching was. It wasn't hospitality, but maybe it was on God's love. I can't really remember. But she had somebody dress up to look like a homeless person. Had them smelly everything. Had them walk down the aisle and sit next to certain people. And Karen wanted to see what would be the reaction. What would be our reaction? Would we be open? Would we be hospitable? Would we realize that possibly that's an angel? But because we think too highly of ourselves that we're not going to be bothered. We need to examine ourselves constantly. Jesus said in Matthew 25, verse 40, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you have done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Realize you're doing it as unto the Lord. Let me leave you with this in Galatians 5, verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Do you have the type of love we are commanded to give to others? God's love, a love that knows no bounds, no limits, no ends. Let's pray. Father, we come before you, Lord. Father, we thank you for this important teaching. We thank you that as the holiday comes, that you would speak to our heart and that you would show us that it's more about giving gifts and getting gifts, but it's about being more like you. You are that indescribable gift. And I ask, Lord, that we would learn to be a gift to you, that we would give ourselves to others. Lord, that we would so represent you. God, your word says that you have called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. And I pray that every Christian here would be a beacon of light, that we would so represent you that your glory and your honor would be manifested as we partake of the holiday season and every day after. In Jesus' name, amen.